discussion we had down here, I think it was Wednesday night, you know, a lot of us have, you know, made comments about, you know, something being said, you know, a real morsel to add to the stack, you know. You love it, you know, it's like an epiphany when you get the sudden realization of a meaning of a thing. You know, wow, that was cool, you know. I know last week or last Sunday in my message, one of the things I said, why is it that good news seems to fall flat? That didn't even make sense. How can good news fall flat? Like, supposed to cheer you up, supposed to give you hope, it's supposed to make you want to stand up and cheer, rejoice, or something. Why is it we see it all through the scripture, especially in the final analysis, the scripture goes on through the first century, people became dull of hearing. They became apathetic in what they had come to, you know, really kind of indifferent. And apathy leads to apostasy, which is departure from the faith. Certainly happened in the Old Testament amongst God's people, because that's the only context we're talking about is God's people. We ain't talking about the world at large. But see, the Jews at that time, they were a special nation set apart as the descendants of Abraham, and they were not evangelistic. They weren't supposed to be. They were supposed to be closed in and not in any kind of fellowship of the world. Christianity is completely the opposite. Completely the opposite. The fullness of the promise to Abraham was that he, through him, God was going to bless all the families of the earth, which means everyone. African people and Asian people, Russian people, Chinese people, American people. People. God's the love of the world, right? He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God loved who? The world. God loves everybody, always has, actually. But he, you know, chose to institute, reveal himself through a series, three phases, patriarchal at the time from the beginning of the creation, then through Moses to one particular nation, descendants of Abraham. Talked about that for a quick sec. Abraham's 430 years after Moses. And for 1,500 years, they were the people that had the only written information from God. Started out on tablets of stone and morphed into, you know, something a little bit easier to read, right? The Ten Commandments is the covenant law. Then there is the rest of the law that they had, Israel did. Governing the priesthood, instructions to them and to the people, various feast days, washings. Oh, it's tedious to read all that. But Christianity was to go into all the world. Jesus personally, Son of God, came down here manifesting in the likeness of sinful flesh to give his life for the world, to make the atonement. We remembered that. A sacrifice for the sins of humans that blood of bulls and goats couldn't do. But his precious blood could. It was prophesied. It was always the plan. The Bible says Jesus is the Lamb slain from before time, before the foundation of the world. This is all intentional. But it morphs into his coming, and he reveals the full purpose of what he came here for, and that was to tell the entire world about some good news. That's what gospel means. Go ye into all the world and preach this good news to everybody. It was supposed to be universally sent out. Gee whiz, they say that people that can do what they call, I don't know what they say, study school books or whatever to come up with, you know, the level that something is written in, so it's age appropriate to students. They say the scripture actually reads at the seventh grade comprehension level. People go, I tried to read it, I couldn't make no sense out of it. It's only because you don't know what you're really looking at. There is, you have to learn. It's like 101 to 102. It's not that hard. It's like anything you first start out with. If you don't know what the terminology means, you're not going to have any idea what's being said. But once you understand how the words are used in the terminology, oh, it all clicks. Gee whiz, if harlots and drunkards and tax collectors could understand it in the first century, I think we can handle it. I think we can handle it. It was a message for the world. Good news. And boy, in the first century, according to Acts 17, the early Christians were accused of turning the whole world upside down with this teaching. And they, guess what? They didn't have cell phones or internet or live at 5, 2020, Geraldo or 24-hour news cycle. And they turned the world upside down? Probably more accurately described, they turned the world upside right. But what we're not going to talk about today, just give you this real quick, we're not going to talk about the crazies. Because we need to talk about, why does the good news fall flat? Crazy people, dangerous people, they don't care about none of this stuff. Jesus said in John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, he said, is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil, and everyone practicing evil hates the light, doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. We're not going to talk about the crazies. We're not going to, and the crazies to me are the people that literally love that darkness and literally hate the light. And they're out there. They're dangerous. Stay away from them. We ain't talking about them. I'm going to talk about the good guys. Let's talk about the good guys. Now we know from the Bible, Jesus said very plainly, there is none good but God. Okay, we get that. That's true, because what's the standard for good? I know, I've said it, and I've had a lot of friends in this world. They really don't want nothing to do with God, but I would consider them good guys. Basically moral. Don't do no harm. You know, work hard, honest. They'd do anything for you. We talk about some people we know that would give their shirt off their back for you. You've got friends like that, people you know. We all do. Now, if we have a message that's good news, how come people, the very people I just described, don't want nothing to do with it? Why is it they don't have no interest in it at all? You know, again, this isn't a complicated message from God, the Creator, to the created. In fact, we already quoted John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. He killed his son. Because he's not willing, the Bible said, that anybody should perish. Nobody. No, not one. According to Ezekiel 28, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But Jesus said, and Jesus the judge, according to John 5, Jesus made it plain, the Father doesn't judge anybody. He given all the judgment, he said, to the Son. Jesus is the judge. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in the body, good or bad. You know, you could hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not the judgment you need to fear. It's how does it turn out for you personally. You could hear good news. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Inhabit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or you could hear, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Whoa. But what about the good guys and gals? When I say good guys, I mean mankind. Guys and gals. I've known good gals too. And you have two. You would call them your friend. And they would do anything in many ways for you. But here's the deal. The Bible has got a lot of... There's a reason why this thing is this thick, by the way. A lot of information. Ever since in the beginning, all the way to Revelation 22, come Lord Jesus. The whole thing. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now remember, we're talking about the good guys. How many good guys do you know that have never picked up a Bible? Yeah, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. What have they been living on? Let's say they're 40 years old. Big Macs. I like the double chubby cheeseburger. That's my preference, and that's fine. But man shall not live. He's talking about eternally live on just physical food, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And here it is, right in the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament. And the New Testament tells the Christian that the Old Testament is written for our learning, our understanding, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope. That is foundational for Christianity. Do not overlook it. Yeah, you got to struggle through some of the Levitical stuff about which way to cut up animals and get the blood here and there. You need a working knowledge, but if that is not all brought over specifically in the New Testament, that is for the Jews. But it's good to learn it, to understand the whole idea of sacrifice and all that law. The schoolmaster teaches us about that. Jesus said, part of the good news that I want you to go and tell the nations, they can start all over, but they must be born again. They must be, John chapter 3, born again. And first off, in order to perceive the kingdom, to see it, what he's talking about. And then he said, in order to enter it. He said, that's how you're going to get to eternal life. The message of the kingdom, a whole new world that is here, actually, he brought 2,000 years ago that many in so-called Christendom don't perceive. They think that Jesus is coming whenever to establish a kingdom here on earth. We're not going off into all that. But I know I've said this before up here. Look, when you start hearing that nutty stuff, Matt Hartford, I remember one time, just summed it up in a nutshell. He said, look, if you can answer two questions out of the Bible, from the scripture now, because it will tell you. Answer two questions biblically. One. Who are the people of God in the Bible? And let me give you a hint right now. If you think it's the Jews, you've already made a mistake. Okay? Because that's part of the confusion today. And it's all current in the New Testament that Paul makes it clear. It's not them. Not the physical Israel. Okay? Who are the people of God, and what is the kingdom of God that was prophesied? Some people think, well, that's where God lives, isn't it? Isn't up in heaven? No. Not according to the prophecies. Oh, yes, God dwells. God dwells, man. He said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Yeah, God lives in glory. That is heaven. But the kingdom of heaven, I think of it this way sometimes because I deal with it sometimes in my travels. What's this country called? Right here, the one we live in. Some people say, well, this is America, man. Well, sort of. But so is Mexico. Right, and so is Canada. America's the continent. This is the United States of America. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the place. This is the kingdom prophesied that Christ brought into the world 2,000 years ago. The Bible said it's the heavenly Jerusalem. Said that it is the spiritual kingdom. Not the physical Jerusalem, in the heavenly one. The bride of Christ. The temple of God. There's various ways. Church of the firstborn. Body of Christ. All these are all saying the same thing. Brethren, it's if you're a born-again Christian, it's you. And Paul made it clear. Don't you know you are the temple of God, he said, and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If anybody don't have the Spirit of God, not his. So, but that's a different subject for today. I'm talking about good guys. What about the good guys? Well, I'll tell you what. If Jesus said you must be born again if you want to go to heaven. You need to be born again in order to see that how the prophecies are fulfilled, which was put in place since before the foundation of the world, and then you must be born again of water and spirit to enter it. You must. He didn't say you can if you want. Well, actually, you can if you want. Don't forget, God sets before us good and evil, life and death, and we all have free will. You are not going to be made to do nothing. No, you get to make that choice. You do not get to choose the consequence, because the consequence has already been determined by the judge, by the Lord. You do get to choose. He said, choose wisely. God says, so choose life that you may live. Well, I wonder if you don't choose life. You get death by default. I'm talking about the big D. I ain't talking about physical death. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, everybody dies. That's just part of life. It's the way of all the earth, is the way it's described. But the one death you want to avoid is the eternal one, because there's no fixing that. You go out of this world like that, you ain't going to like it, but there ain't no coming back either. You're stuck. What did Milton say? Was he a philosopher? Outside the gates of hell, there is a sign that says, all who enter here abandon all hope. That's a scary thought. Remember, we're talking about good news, though. And we are talking about good guys. Well, I wonder if those good guys have been living by bread only. And there are some like that. There's people I've tried to talk to. Gee whiz, I worked at the Federal Center. We had all kinds of people there. There was 2,000 people in that building one time, and I knew a lot of those folks. That's where Marlo comes from. We knew each other at the Federal Building. But they didn't want to hear this. We got relatives that don't want to hear it. Sue's dad was a good guy. He World War II vet, you know, him and Betty, you know, he built that house out there he lived in with his own hands. Boy, he kept that lawn mowed. man look immaculate. He wasn't crazy. He didn't drink and chew or go out with girls that do. I mean, he was all around good guy. Patriotic. Man, if you wanted to get him out of the house, just start talking about God. And if he couldn't find the door, he'd make one. And we cared about him. Gee whiz, you guys been to our house. We got scripture stenciled on the walls. They couldn't come over for the holidays without looking at, you know, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Sue did that. Stuck scriptures. Well, the Lord did say, you know, stick it on your gateposts and write it, you know, and teach your kids. And when they rise up and you sit down, when you walk down the street, put it on your refrigerator doors with magnets. You can do that. Put scriptures. There's something about this message, this good news, that just simply falls flat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was a captain one time up at the Federal Center. He was a good guy. In his spare time, he was involved with nonprofits. Everyone liked him. Lynn was his first name. Squared away guy, really squared away. And because I was involved with nonprofits, I kicked up the conversation with him one time and, you know, tell him we did a lot of our stuff overseas. You know, orphans, widows, clean water, whatever. And of course, the segue was to really try to help the people overcome their horrible situations. You can't change the world. God does not change the world. God changes individuals from the inside out. The world he judges now judges men in eternity. So trying to help people understand the darkness and the suffering they're going through, just to encourage them, to give them some hope. We share good news. We go to share good news. And Lynn just looked at me and, you know, seeing if he would bite, take the bait. He's human, created. All these people see running around here, they're all created. Created by a benevolent creator, a God who loves them. Knew them before they were born, not willing they should perish, but all should come to this understanding, be willing to take the fork in the road to, let's just say, to the right. And he looked at me. Oh, he said, I'm an atheist. He said, you know, I don't believe in any of that, but that's fine. I mean, he said, but that's not for me. I saw his obituary maybe 6 months ago. Just had some sort of, what do you call these days, celebration of life. I'm thinking, what life? In 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, Paul said, look, this message that we have of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Paul said, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know God, and it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Oh, the Jews, they want a sign, because they don't believe it either, and they still don't to this day, and don't take my word for it. They were the people of God. But Jesus told the Jews, where I'm going, you ain't coming, and you're going to die in your sin. They've been through everything. The Romans flattened that place in 70 AD. That is a historical fact. Wiped out Jerusalem, destroyed the temple of God. They were scattered all over the world. You know, the Holocaust, you hear horror stories. Jews being literally hunted down, gathered from all the European nations by Hitler, brought to Auschwitz. And I told you I went there in March or something like that. No, it was last year, I guess, I went there. It just so happened to be there right by the refugee camps of the Ukrainians. We were there for that. And Anya said, well, You know, if you wanted to, the Schindler's factory is right down the street here in Krakow, Poland. And Auschwitz-Birkenau is just down the street, about 40 minutes. If you want to go, she said, I ain't going in that place. But if you want to, we said, yeah. Man, you'll never forget. They kept that. They preserved it. They didn't want that to ever be forgotten. So it is quite a tour. And they killed millions of people. They went and hunted them down to go get them, to bring them there, to do that. Jews. And all this, now we hear in our country and everywhere else, people hating Jews again. That's for what? Here we go again. That's an evil. The Jews, though, they reject it too to this day. Don't take my word for it. Call them up. You got cell phone. Just dial the number. Get a hold of Israel and say, hello, Israel. You guys believe Jesus of Nazareth, it's a Christ? Nope. Okay. Just checking. Don't take my word for it. They want a sign, Paul said. The Gentiles, Greeks, seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, that's a stumbling block. They don't want to hear it. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Paul said, look, you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many well-born or called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty and the base things of this world, and that the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not, you know, they're even things that you can't even comprehend or see, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That his, no flesh will glory in his presence. But you know what it says? The common people heard him gladly. The common people. I already mentioned the drunkards, the tax collectors, and the harlots. They could hear him. But not the religious people. The Jews. He came into this world in small town Hodunk, Israel, Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Savior of the world. He wasn't even a Levite. He was from Judah. And when he was looking to get his guys that he was going to train, build up to save this world, did he go to Jerusalem? Did he go to the elite, to the higher ups and the Jewish faith and understanding? Did he get those that were school trained to do it? No, he got them. Hey, you guys, fishermen, put down them nets, follow me. You too, James, John, let's go. All right, there's one of them despised publicans. Let me get one of them. Matthew, follow me. Peter must have thought he just lost his mind. Bringing a tax collector? And, there's one of them crazy zealots, man. Let me get him. You know, they're murderers, or they're highly trained assassins. So follow me. A couple prostitutes that he cast, demon.cast, you know, follow. Yeah, you can come too. What a motley crew that the Savior and the Creator of the world came to save the world. And he specifically didn't go get the guys from Jerusalem. How about that? And he's Jewish. Because they don't want to hear it either. He did all of this that no flesh would glory in his presence. What did it say? The mighty, the well-born, the wise of this world. Good guys. Good guys. These are not crazies. These are the successful people. That goes right over their head. In Matthew 11, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus literally is thanking his Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that he has hidden for people like that. Verse 25, Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You've revealed it to babes. Not literally thumb-sucking babies. People that are born again are babes in God's eyes. The humble, of the contrite spirit, the broken. Come to me. That's what he says next. Come to me. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But he thanks his Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that he's hidden these things from who? The wise and the prudent. These are not crazies. These are not the crazies. We said we're not going to talk about the crazies. Forget them. We're talking about the self-made men and women, the good guys, basically. Too smart for their own britches. Is that a good way to put that? They trust in their own selves, their ability, confident, mighty men, self-made. Too good for this. That's why God chose to do it that way. You ain't getting no more mightier than him. It's that no flesh would glory in his presence. That's the worst thing. You try to come to God and show him who you think you are. People like that, they think they got it all figured out. They're above this stuff. And if they come to God, they have this view because they want to build their own thing. Yo, God, make it happen. Oh, God will make things happen, all right. He ain't the bellboy. You come to God with a broken and contrite spirit, and he will hear you. That's what he's looking for. He don't need self-made people that can't hear what he's got to say. This is way too simple for some of those guys. You look at organized religion. That's why the Jews could not hear them with their robes and their big old hats and thinking they were better than everybody. And that's still true today. You think God is impressed with that stuff out there? I've already made the example. Go figure it out. Is that how he came down here? Was looking for the people that already had all this organization, all these mega this and that's, whether it's churches or anything else? He is not impressed by that at all. You know what God's got to say? First off, Paul said God don't dwell in no building that's made with hands. Heaven, he said, is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What are you going to make for me to dwell in, God says. You're not, and you can't. This message just falls flat in the mind of some people that just roll their eyes and say, right. They think religion is so archaic, or it's for the foolish. What did Vladimir Lenin say about, I don't think it was Karl Marx, I'm talking about the communists, you know, I'm talking about the founders of that stuff, that Christianity is the opiate for the masses, meaning the stupid people. The stupid people. It's a crutch. Really? Jesus said, you got to be born again if you're ever going to perceive this, and you're going to have to be born again to enter heaven itself. Well, wonder if these people that were good guys, I'm talking about the good guys, wonder if this is foolishness to them. Will that get you into heaven? No. The wise, the mighty, the well-born, self-made, he said it's hidden from them. And Jesus, thank God for it. I'm glad you've hidden this from them. But for all you broken, you laboring, struggling with burdens you can't bear, come on. come to me. I'll help you. I got good news for you. And the common people came. Multitudes. The broken, the sick, the humble, the poor. Man. James tells us, you know, the poor in this world are rich in faith because they're at the bottom, man. They're at the bottom of the barrel. They're in the bottom of the Titanic. They know where they're at, and they're trying to get out of there. The rich, you can't tell them guys topside, first class. Come on, man, get in the lifeboat. Oh, we don't think we need to do that. This big boat can't sink. Right. See, what got me thinking about a lot of this, it's Psalms 49. Psalms 49. In Psalms chapter 49, Alan Marshall and I were talking about these scriptures up at the shack. Because he's trying to reach people too. He strums away in that subway station in the London Tube, Stratford Station. He said, I got people coming past me from those trains. You know, a lot of people, you know, just like all of us, we have our habits of how we get to work. If you drive a car, you probably drive the same roads. If you catch a bus, you catch the same bus. You know where it goes. You do it every day. Pretty soon you get to know the same people that are on the bus or whatever because they're in the same bus you are going to work. Whatever. So he's got people that go by him all the time. And man, many stop and hang out or put some money in his guitar case. But he sits there singing in that big tube station, man, hundreds of people every day. And he praises the Lord. And he gets a lot of good conversations going on. Now here in Psalms 49 and verse 16, it says, do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Because when he dies, he's taking nothing away. His glory, this is a good guy now, this is a good guy. His glory shall not descend after him. And while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well. You know, I've known people who have been successful like that. Good guy. But it says here, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. And they will never see the light of light. Life, I mean. I have a cross reference for the life part. It just says they'll never see light, but it means the light of life. A man who is in honor, good guy, mighty, noble, well-born. I throw that in from 1 Corinthians 1. But he does not understand what God's eternal purpose was in Christ Jesus, where Jesus says, you must now, you need to do this if you're ever going to get there. But he's in honor. He's done a lot. He's accomplished, but does not understand is what? Like the beast that perishes. A beast. Guess why? That is not what he was created for. Do you realize there's a purpose of why the earth was created? You know what it says of the Christian, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 4? Therefore, just as he, God, chose us in him, Jesus, when? Before the foundation of the world. There wasn't even a Garden of Eden yet. That's how intentional this is. Some context tells you it was before time began. Time was created in the Garden of Eden. That's when he created the sun, the moon, the stars, for telling time, marking time, for seasons. He said this was all before that. Chosen in him, in Jesus, he, God, chose us in him, Jesus, when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. You can't do that on your own. You have to be born again to do that. Because it's transformative. And that's what, see, he who believes it and is baptized will be saved, Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16. And if they don't believe, they'll be condemned. That's the criteria. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It's like on, off, up, down, light, darkness, pregnant, not pregnant. You can't be. There's no third rail. There is no third rail. I set before you good, evil, life, death. Choose life. What about the good guy line? There ain't a good guy line. I'm going there. We'll go there. Well, here it says right here, we just read part of that. Yeah, he blesses himself. He is accomplished. He's done well here. But if he's in honor, but yet he has no knowledge of God, no understanding, he's like the beast that perishes. He ain't no different than a dead dog. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. There ain't no difference, he said, between the dead dog and a dead person. In fact, he said it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Well, that's a comparison for you. He's like a beast. He got all the way through this existence, walked around, spent his whole life, according to Romans chapter 1, Psalms 19, beholding the glory of God, seeing God's handiwork, seeing his creation all around him, walked through here without paying any attention to any of it, and right out the other end. But Moses said, look, you're going to get 70 or 80. 70 is 70. 80. If you're strong, some get even more than that. They go into the 90s. Boy, you're talking about, that's 70 and some change. But you still die. You still die anyway. And go right out of this place and had no knowledge of what the heck you were even here for. Well, I'll guarantee you what, God does put eternity in our hearts, and we do know, but according to Romans chapter 1, people don't want to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they push that out of here, and then they call it foolishness. And they can do that. But yet God is not willing, but they're going to perish because that cannot be changed. It will not be changed, and God has no pleasure in it. But he says it'll happen. See, it says right here, I was going to give you that. I think I wrote it down in Psalm Isaiah chapter 43. We're created for a reason. Look, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5, God says, fear not, I am with you. Now, yes, he is talking about Israel, but you read the book of Isaiah, he expands it. This is for people right here, you'll see, coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west to sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is New Testament. Verse 5, fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, don't keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Go ye into all the world. Preach this good news to everybody. I throw that in. That's what he's talking about. Everyone who is called by my name, Christian, that means you belong to Christ. That's what they called them Christians first at Antioch. That's a Bible term. The followers of Christ became known as Christian because they belonged to him. Those called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. How are you going to get around that? We were made for a reason. We were made for his glory. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what you were made for. Those that die in honor, they've gained a lot. They were mighty. They were noble. They were well-born. They had the wisdom of this world. We're not talking about the crazies. We're talking about the good guys. That's not the criteria for going to heaven. If you can attain to any of those things, good for you. But, you know, like Jesus said about tithing of mince and cumin, but neglecting the weightier matters of judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, but don't leave the other undone. If you're smart, you're wise. Hey, Job was rich. Abraham was rich. These guys were also mighty in many ways. That don't impress God if that you only got that only. Don't leave the other undone. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. It's okay. Remember when he said, Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. The problem is not the money. It's a very necessary thing. You got to have it here on this earth. The problem with people is the love of it. They trust it. Look, I'm going to give you this. We got to close up here. I'm going to the last book of the Old Testament, the very last book. It's Malachi. It's chapter 3. Not too hard to find. If you know where Matthew's at, just go back a book after a blank page. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord listened. He heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. These will be mine, saith the Lord. On that day when I make up my jewels, that means his special treasure, I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serve him, and you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one that don't. He sees the people talking about him who delight in his law. You know, like Psalms 1 said, they meditate on it day and night. Well, they'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth their fruit in their season. Their leaf also shall not wither, and whatever they do, they will prosper. Wow. That's what God offers everybody. He said, man, when I hear them talking about me, because they love to talk about me, they love to get together, and they love those little morsels that pop up. They go, wow, that's a good one. I want to hear that again. And they fear the Lord. They meditate on his name. He said, well, these will be mine. On that day, when I make up my jewels, my special treasure, I will spare them as a man spares his own son and who serves him. We're going to close with 1 Peter 2. Newborn babes coming in, right? He said, desire the pure milk of the word. You let your understanding be fruitful. You gotta feed that spiritual man now. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow, coming to him as a living stone. He's the chief cornerstone. And you now, he says in verse 5, you're like living stones. And you're being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, praise of your lips, your good works, your good deeds. It is animal sacrifices. And here you go. Here's the clincher. Verse 9. He says, this is what I've been looking for. This is the reason why I created you. This is my eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. It isn't just good guys. It just ain't, you know, halfway decent moral human beings. They've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but they ain't the crazies. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. Verse 9 says, because you are royal. This is written by a fisherman, Apostle Peter. This is garden variety Christians he's talking about here. Regular old Christians. What does he say? You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. Remember Malachi? You are his own special treasure. Christians, the born again ones, walking in the spirit, no longer according to the flesh, wearing the name. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim to the whole world and to the heavenly realm the praises of him who called you out of the darkness of this world and into his marvelous light. Good news. How much, can I say gooder? How much, isn't that the best news you ever heard? And it falls flat with God's people and everybody else. The world just simply thinks that is the stupidest thing that I ever heard. Don't take my word for it. Easy. Michael thinks it's good news. I think he sees things that we don't even see. We got to be fervent, brethren. We get encouraged. We come together, and that was a great weekend. I think a lot of us really enjoyed that. Now we've known people from all over because we've been a part of their stuff. They've been a part of our stuff, and that's exciting. We want more people to know. We just want more people to know. But so many people, they just let this go past. Or if they do become, you know, they get baptized and then they start, but they drift away. That's how the Bible actually ends. In the first century, all those seven churches in Asia Minor at the close of the first century, they gone. And they were warned, you've already left. And if you don't get your act together, he said, I'm going to put your candlestick out. That's how the Bible ends in this first century. Are we better than them? The Jews had it all from the law of Moses. Christ literally came to them first. Paul said this be preached to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. I said, call them up. Don't take my word for them. Ask them if they believe Jesus is the Christ. No. 2,000 years later and all they've been through. No. They're humans, and they did that. What about us? Thank you for your attention.